Hello and welcome to Homestead Hens and Honey, a beekeeping, chicken keeping, and general homesteading podcast. I'm your host, Gemma, and today I have a whimsically titled episode, which is really just about chickens. The title name came from a conversation that I was having with my bestie in Canada, where I was sharing some of the exploits a recent house chicken got up to and how I didn't understand how what she was doing was possible. And ultimately, I settled on the idea that chickens are actually chaos sprites and therefore the rules of physics do not apply to them. So to get to that part of the story, I'll start at the beginning. Basically, my frizzle mama, which is Petal, she's the white girl, I will post a picture on my Instagram. She is one of the girls who went broody last year and raised chicks. Well, she has to wear a hen saddle for about half of the year, not because of a rooster, which is the usual use, but because she has always plucked her feathers. And when they try and grow back in, she plucks them, they're blood feathers, so they bleed. That attracts the other girls who are in with her, and it becomes a much bigger mess. Covering up the area seems to prevent the worst of it, but she's always a little bit featherless, right above her tail. So she wears this hen saddle. And one day I could hear, sometime last week, I heard her like making quite a racket, and she's one of my noisy girls, but I still went to see what was going on, and I saw that the silky was chasing her. And I assumed that she had a snack or something it wanted. It didn't seem like they were really roughhousing, so I left them to it. Imagine my surprise when I go out later for snacks and to check up on them, and I see that she is bleeding from under her wing. And when I actually lifted the wing, there was so much blood and blood clots that I immediately just scooped her up, brought her straight in the house. Thankfully, my downstairs bathroom had a chicken hospital all ready to go. I just left the setup that I put in the downstairs shower from when we were away in Florida. I just left everything there, which was great because I was able to just bring her in, drop some food in a bowl, put some water in, and then go get my supplies together. So real quickly, let's talk a little bit about the supplies that I have accumulated over these years of chicken keeping. Something that I tend to have on hand as a leftover from both Agatha and any chickens who've recently had more serious health issues, I usually have some kind of painkiller, whether that's meloxicam. It's usually something like meloxicam, but you can also use uncoated aspirin, which I have as well. Then I'll have some kind of no-pick ointment. I really like the purple one. It smells like grapes from Tractor Supply. I think it's just called no-pick or something. It works really well. It covers the area well, and it does seem to deter further picking. I have like a comb salve for any kind of minor scrapes and abrasions. Neosporin, so it's triple antibiotic ointment. And then I have various wraps and tapes, hen saddles of different sizes so that they will fit the small ones and the really big chunky Orpingtons, miscellaneous towels that I don't mind getting ruined, gloves, an apron that's especially for when I'm handling injured chickens, so it doesn't matter if it gets blood or other bodily fluids on it. And I think that's it. Okay, so that's the main... Oh, I also have a bottle of very gentle Castile soap designed to be used on chickens if I ever need to give them a bath. And I also have a small jar of styptic powder to help stop bleeding. So I've brought Petal in. I look under her wing. Well, first things first is I wanted to see whether the hen saddle had like cut into her somehow, which would be weird if it had, because it fits very well. And I kind of gently examined the area, prepared to cut the hen saddle off, but everything was fine. It definitely wasn't the hen saddle. So I removed that carefully, and I realized that I couldn't really see any fresh blood, and that even if there was fresh blood, there was so much clotted blood on her feathers that it was hard to see. So quickly I realized that she's going to need to be bathed. So I got a little bowl together, got the soap out, got some warm water, and settled in to try and clean the area, which was much easier said than done. Because she's a frizzle and she has those funky feathers, they really clump up and can be quite hard to clean and get that blood that was sticking them together off. So it took me a while and I still had no better idea really of what I was looking at. It was very confusing. I couldn't find a cut. I think the damage was actually very slightly on the top of where her wing joint is, based on fresh blood that started to occur during the bathing. But again, like, I couldn't really see well. Even when I had my husband look at it, who has a lot more animal surgery experience than I do, he agreed with my assessment of where the wound probably was, but he couldn't really identify what was going on either. But I cleared the area enough that I felt I could apply some antibiotic ointment, let her dry, and see what she did. Well, she was totally fine. She was eating already. She was drinking. She was very active. And so I decided I would just keep her in the house for a couple of days to monitor the situation. After a couple of days, After about 24 hours, I really knew that I had to properly bathe her. And now that I wasn't rushing, because now it didn't feel like an emergency, I wanted to get her as clean as possible so that I could have another look and see if I could identify exactly what was going on. So this time I was a little bit more prepared. I had multiple bowls available with water. I had something to scoop the water so I could pour it over her back. I had a hairdryer on the go for, obviously, I was going to have to dry her afterwards because the weather was cold out and the house was a little cooler than I think would be safe for a wet, potentially ill chicken. So hairdryer at the ready, towels at the ready, and I set to bathing her. Bathing a chicken is never super easy, but she actually did seem to relax into it. I think she liked the temperature of the water. So I got her bathed, wrapped her up in a towel, and then it was a case of drying her. And you can't just blast your chicken with high heat because it's too hot and you might scald them. And I think the noise scares them as well. So I sat for a long time with my girl and the hairdryer set on low to try and get her clean and dry. And it took a while, but we mostly got there. I think she was only very, very slightly damp in areas by the time I put her back in her house. And I will say again, even now cleaned, there was still some blood clots that I couldn't completely get out of the feathers. They were just so dried in there that I plucked a couple of feathers by accident. I didn't want to do any more of that. So yeah, I just don't know what happened. I really don't. But she was happy. There was no fresh blood that happened during this whole process. And I was like, okay, well, she'll probably just be in the house until the weather warms up enough that I can put her back out with her flock. And this is when the chaos started. So how I tend to set up a chicken hospital is I will have a large tub of some kind, like kind of like a kitty litter pan is usually a good one, that I fill with shavings, and that's sort of the main nest area for them. And I have learned the hard way that I have to weight the tub or else they'll try and perch on the edge and tip it over. So I have two very large and heavy stones that go in to the litter box to hold it down. The food bowl also has to have a stone in it, as does the water bowl, or it goes everywhere. And so this is the setup. It's what I've done before. And Pixie is a small chicken. She is only very slightly bigger than the bantams, even though she's meant to be full size. So I thought that what I'd set up would be proficient. Well, imagine my surprise when this almighty clamoring starts from downstairs. Like, I can hear it upstairs in the bedroom. And it was such a weird, unusual noise that I thought it was something from outside. So I tried to drift back off to sleep. It happened again. I don't know why, but I had it in my head that it was like the drains reversing and it was like a loud banging and gurgling of the pipes, like spitting up, I don't know, sewage or something. I don't know why my brain went there, but it did. And I was freaking out. So I jump out of bed and I can hear my husband swearing from downstairs. So I call down, ask what's going on, and he tells me it's the chicken. So I run down, and in a way of utterly defying physics, Pixie was getting one of those giant rocks out of her little nest box and then would perch on the edge and tip the whole box over. And having seen this once, my husband had already went in, put the rock back, double-checked that the second rock was there, left, and almost immediately she manages to get it out again, tip the thing over, and then start, you know, tipping everything over that's in there. I have no idea how she managed this. She does not weigh as much as those two rocks. And this was what I was sharing with my bestie over Messenger. And that was when I decided that on top of everything else that I've been through with chickens, they are 100% chaos sprites. You hear stories sometimes about chickens getting stuck upside down in buckets or falling behind the nest boxes or somehow getting into like a grain bag and getting stuck. I mean, chickens are chaos personified. And so now that I have thought about this, for me, this is 100% my headcanon. Chickens are chaos sprites, some more chaotic than others, but all of them can at some point defy the laws of physics. I don't actually have a huge amount else to say for this week. It's going to be a really, really short one. I've had some stuff going on with some animal rescue stuff that I don't really want to go into it for a number of reasons, but I'll just say that sometimes working or volunteering in animal rescue will put you in touch with people who are very unwell, and if they fixate on you, it can be quite unpleasant, and so I've been dealing a little bit with that but it came to a head last week, and it wasn't really very fun, and I've had to block some people, and I'm just hoping that they leave me alone. But as of today, I have a number of calls from blocked numbers, so I don't think it's going to stop anytime soon, but fingers crossed. We had cold weather pretty much all of the last, you know, few days and through the weekend, and so I haven't really had a big chance to get stuff done. Yesterday, we finally had slightly warmer weather, and I was in the garden prepping veggie beds, clearing out weeds, putting down fresh mulch. I'm going to then do a layer of leaf litter and then a layer of old chicken coop shavings and chicken poop. And then I'll be putting on some kind of soil over the top. So fingers crossed that that will be nice and nutrient dense for the veggie plants. I also went back to my books, and it looks like as long as I can get things planted by like the second week of May, I should be able to get a harvest this year. So fingers crossed. We have another sort of mild day today. It's a little cool in the shade. I went out to the hives just now and I still have no idea what's going on. When I went in last week, I was sure that it was two colonies based on the pollen pants and the nectar that they were producing and everything. This week, I don't know. I saw some even more confusing things in there. Like one hive has no eggs in it, no brood, but they were pulling a queen cell. And when I very, very carefully opened the queen cell, it had a single perfect egg inside of it. There's no other eggs in that hive. What the hell does that mean? Similarly, the other one, the one that had a scattering of brood, there's no eggs, so it's not queen, right? I can't see any more queens. There's not really any sign of a laying worker because there just aren't eggs. They're just not there. But it does look like maybe some were laid recently because, again, I saw some really small larvae, but it's just such a tiny amount. I have no idea what is going on. I had reached out to my neighbor to ask if I could get a frame of brood, which he agreed to, and then he kind of got over his head with how many colonies he has, and then he's had some health problems because he's an older guy, and he's just desperately trying to get people to help him, which I would usually do, but I honestly don't have the time available. And the problem is that you work the hives during the day, right? And most people are working, and many other beekeepers have full-time jobs, and they just can't get the time in. So I don't know that he can really help me out, unless I can commit to, I don't know, a couple of hours of helping him sometime, but I just don't see that happening. I'm so behind in the garden. We're still on baby watch for the skinks. And then just trying to figure out what's going on with my own hives. Whenever I get a chance, I'm going to prioritize them. So I don't know. I'm thinking about maybe buying a nucleus colony from a local breeder just to have something to work with. I think it's going to be easier than trying to get like a favor from people at this point. So yep, not sure what's going on. Haven't heard about my package yet. Getting kind of antsy. Hoping it comes in really soon. Until then, I'll just keep popping in once a week to see if there are any changes and hoping for the best. The colony that has no eggs in it whatsoever, it really feels like there's a queen in there. And I don't know how to explain it. It's like the way the bees are behaving. It's the way they interact with each other and the way they respond to my presence. I really, really feel like there's a queen. I just can't find her. I don't know. I'm so confused. I've never been this up in the air before, but oh well, bees will keep me busy and on my toes, I suppose. So that's really all I've got for this week. Hopefully next week I will have more news to share and maybe I will know what's going on in my colonies. But for now, it's all a great big confusion. So that's all I've got for you. I hope you're doing a lot better with your bees than I am. And I will return in a week, hopefully with some good news. So stay safe, stay healthy, and remember, as always, hug your hens and then wash your hands. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.